This show contains language and themes that may be considered offensive to some. Please use your best judgment about whether or not you should be listening. Sci-Fi Noise. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Sci-Fi Noise can be found at deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. So you can also find Sci-Fi Noise is also part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For I can't remember if I have a link for that one yet. But if you go to deliberatenoise.com, you see links, banners for most of the shows in the Deliberate Noise Network. We've had a, sort of like a membership drive lately. So I'm behind on making banners, even behind on making one for Sci-Fi Noise. So yeah, just trust me, it's there. Just go to deliberatenoise.com/sci-fi. There, you'll easily be able to find it. All right, now this show is, I don't know what to call shows like this. Anyway, this is a podcast. I don't know what else to call it. Anyway, lately I've been watching a lot of, two shows from the past, kind of three shows from the past that are all sci-fi related. The first one is Farscape. I was never really into Farscape. At the time, I really couldn't get past the Muppets, Rigel and Pilot. They're both created by Jim Henson and Jim Henson Studios. And quite frankly, it was just all a little bit ridiculous, you know. But then I decided to give it another chance. It's kind of funny. I am way behind on listening to one of my favorite podcasts, which is Sci-Fi Noise. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. Sci-Fi Dig with Aaron Makem. And when I say behind, I was like about a year behind. All right. And when I was listening to it, he was still going through Babylon 5. You know, he's doing all the Babylon 5 reviews. And I forgot why, but I decided to check out Farscape. Farscape was on Netflix streaming. So I said, why not, you know? As I was watching it, it occurred to me that this is the type of show that when Aaron finishes with Babylon 5, he should, you know, do a breakdown and review of next. So I told him, because he was, at the time, not only was he doing Babylon 5, but he was also doing X-Files, and I'm not a big X-Files fan. And so, I just fired off a note to him, email, saying, hey, you know what, when you get done with Babylon 5, you should do Farscape. And all he responded with was, wow, you really are behind. But I started to get into this show, you know. I decided I was at least going to watch the very first episode. I mean, it was on Netflix streaming, so it's not going to cost me anything extra. So why not? So I started watching it and I liked it, and I watched like the second episode and I liked that, and I watched the third episode and I realized, this is like one of the few episodes that I'd already seen. Cause I'd only seen like maybe three episodes beforehand, and it just happened that it was number three. It was one of them. So I watched that and I watched a couple others, and then it was like, okay, I've seen this one. And I've seen this one. So, you know, I've seen much more Farscape than I thought I had. I saw three episodes instead of, you know, the zero that I thought I'd watched. Full episodes, I should say. And I liked it. And that really was one of the things that made me decide to try to watch Stargate, SG-1. Because I'd seen the movie Stargate a long time ago. In fact, I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theater. If I didn't see it in the theater, I saw it when it was out on whatever it came out. Was it VHS or DVD? I don't remember. I know I've seen the movie at least once. No, I just don't remember where. Wasn't that impressed. I think I watched it because Jay Davidson was in it. And that was like the only... That was the first thing that he had done after The Crying Game. And I was just curious to see how, you know, how he would be when he wasn't playing a transsexual. Was he transsexual or was he just a transvestite? Huh, can't remember. Anyway, so I just wondered what it was like. And, you know, I guess he was okay. And I guess the movie was okay. But it just never stuck with me. And I didn't watch any of the TV shows. None of them. Not a single episode of Stargate SG-1 or Stargate Atlantis. Or there's another Stargate. Not that one either. But I was sitting around bored, and I decided to start watching Stargate Universe, which I'm about to talk about in a second. But because I like Stargate Universe, I decided, okay, let me go back and watch Stargate. Now, that's on Hulu, and I'm currently making my way through the first season. Man, is that stuff tough to get through. Wow. You know, when Babylon 5 came out, I actually started watching Babylon 5 towards the end of the first season and beginning of the second season. Right? So when I hear people who are trying to watch Babylon 5 for the first time complain about how tough it is to get through the first few episodes, I knew where it was heading. I knew what it was building up to. So those early episodes really didn't bug me as much. But now that I'm watching Stargate, I know what they're talking about. This is some tough stuff to get through. I mean, I'm sitting there watching these and I'm just like, wow, you know, I don't really care. If you guys were to all die in the next scene, it really wouldn't make that big a difference to me. It's just really, really tough. However, a lot of people on Twitter especially are telling me that it gets better. It not only gets better, but it gets drastically better. So I'm holding out hope. You know, I'm going to at least give it to probably the few episodes into the second season. I think that I'm really thinking that if I don't really start to dig it by the end of this season, I might be gone. But I'm just going to at least give it until the partially into the second season. You know, why not? I didn't like the TV show Fringe until the second season. You know, now I need to go back and watch the first season. Dollhouse really didn't grab me until the end of the first season. So you never know. You never know what's going to happen with Stargate. Now, part of me is hoping against hope that it gets better. But if it just turns out to be one of those shows that I just don't get into, then it's just a show I don't get into. Because Stargate Universe apparently gets ripped on a lot by existing Stargate fans, you know, people who like the Stargate franchise. But I love Stargate Universe. I was thinking earlier this week that it is easily the best sci-fi show on TV right now. There are a couple of other shows that come close, but to me, it just isn't good enough this time around. Chuck from NBC. I don't know if that can really be considered a sci-fi show, but at the same time, why not? You know, it's kind of like $6 Million Man or The Bionic Woman, only with less sound effects. Really good show, by the way. Chuck is this guy who gets what they call the intersex dumped into his brain. So he's kind of like a living computer. He can, I don't want to ruin it, but at this one part, he learned that not only can he flash on things and remember stuff that's in the CIA NSA database, but there's also Physical Manifestations, which happened in this last season. Just really good show. I was thinking Eureka from a sci-fi channel is another really good one. This is about a kind of like a top secret town in the middle of nowhere that instead of being populated by just regular people or I don't know. Sometimes you have ex-slaves or moonshine runners or I don't know, whatever the fuck, farmers and stuff who populate small towns. This one is populated by like the smartest people in the world. You know, it's like it's a town full of geniuses. So they have all this advanced scientific stuff. The only problem with it revolves around the town sheriff, who's a normal guy. You know, he's not a genius, and he's just a normal guy. And what I like really about that part is that because he's a normal guy, he really kind of is set apart from all the geniuses because he's not as smart as them. He's not as smart as his daughter, who's as smart as them. But he's a realistic normal guy, you know. One thing that kind of bugged me at first about Farscape is Crichton. He's this astronaut who gets caught up in a wormhole, thrown to an entirely different part of the universe. Might just be galaxy, but definitely different part of the universe. And they treat him sort of like a normal guy, and I'm thinking, he's an astronaut, you know. They just don't take you off the street, say, hey, you know what, we're going to put you in one of those worldly things so that you can get centrifugal force against you so you can feel the G-forces, and they're going to send you up in outer space. Now, this guy, and they address this later, but he's got to have some sort of brains, you know. He has to have some sort of engineering background. They recently, in terms of me watching, it said that he does have like a doctorate, or they may be doctorates. I don't know, but they try to portray him as a normal guy when he should not be portrayed as a normal guy. He should be portrayed as a guy who's pretty with it. But like I said, they're starting to get away from that, you know, dopey ordinary Joe type stuff. But with Eureka, the sheriff is. I mean, he's a lawman. He knows the law. He knows his job. He doesn't really need to know much past that. He doesn't need a lawman doesn't really need to know plumbing. Okay, he doesn't need to know how to do electrical work. He doesn't need any of that stuff. It'd be nice, but he doesn't really need it. And there are a lot of times where in Eureka, he's talking to all these eggheads, and they're overthinking something, you know. And then he just flat out says, well, okay, well, should we just look for an off switch? You know, something like that. And they'll stop and they'll look, and they're just like, at first, and there's usually somebody who looking like, oh, you damn idiot. But then they're like, huh, wait a minute. You know, because let's face it, no matter how smart you are, you need somebody to keep you grounded. And he's somebody who keeps the whole town grounded, and that's one of the reasons why I like it. The only thing I don't like is they kind of rely on that too much, right? There's really two things that they usually rely on. One of them makes sense. One of them kind of doesn't. You know, it's kind of like lazy writing. But something weird will start happening, and at the same time, not only is there something weird happening, but there's this. There's this experiment that's going on across town, and nobody seems to put two and two together until the sheriff goes like, wait a minute, well, maybe this has something to do with this. Well, you know what? You might be right. I can understand that to a point, right? Because these people, these geniuses have all shown that they care more about their experiments and what they are doing than the overall picture, you know, what's going on in every place else. And since he has to go to all these different sections. He would know more about what's going on across town than anybody else. But it just seems like that's becoming really cliche on the show, right? You know, wow, you know, there's an earthquake over here. Yeah, but this scientist over here, he's trying to make the world's greatest milkshake. Well, let's turn off this I don't know, hyperbolic quantum blender and see what happens. Hey, the earthquake stopped. Yeah. And the other thing I don't like is sometimes they're a little too lighthearted. I think that might have a lot to do with the music. The music is sort of lighthearted. And so at no point do you really think that anybody's in danger. Okay, it's like, you know, somebody's, you know, oh my God, right? There's a, wow, he's sitting there in his chair, and right above him is this 100, you know, this 100 ton rock that's got anti-gravity properties. If he moves, it'll crush him. Ding, 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 ding. It's like, okay, all right, come on, let's get the commercial over with, you know. But Eureka is definitely a good show. Not as good to me as Stargate Universe, and I'll get more about that in a second. And then there's Warehouse 13, which is also on the Sci-Fi Network. Now, this one really, really did not grab me at first. I barely made it through the first episode. I think I made it through part of the second episode before I was like, you know, this is nothing but an updated version of Friday the 13th, the series, which I did not like, by the way. I just didn't. Except where that one was more mystical, this has like a bit of a mystical / science bent, you know? So it's a little bit more sciencey, but not by a whole lot. I don't know. I just... That one was, like I said, that's another one that was like really, really tough for me to get into. Sort of, I don't know. I barely made it through the first one, didn't make it through the second one, started watching the third, and there's one where they introduced this teenage girl character. And it's around that time that I just decided, you know what, I don't care if there's nothing else on TV worth watching. I'll just go to sleep, you know. Then, I forgot what it was, but somebody, might have been Aaron, might have been somebody else, who told me that Warehouse 13 is really good now, and I really should be watching, because it's towards the end of the season. This is another reason why I'm going to give Stargate SG-1 until, like, the end of the season. Because they introduced not only new characters towards the end of the season, but also this whole this continuing narrative that apparently had been hinted at in the early episodes, and, you know, very subtle hints, because I didn't get any of them. But towards the end, things are starting to pick up. So I kind of was giving it a bit more credit towards the end of the season than I did at the beginning. Maybe it was just that the creators had to find their way. Maybe not. Maybe that's where they went in, and people are just like, wow, you know, this is really boring. Well, it's okay. Well, let's just change this and change that. I don't know. So that one, it turns out like it looks like it's going to be a pretty good show now, towards the end of the first season. So I'm curious to see how the second season starts, but I don't know. I hope it doesn't do like Dollhouse. Dollhouse started first season really shaky, and it really got better at the end of the first season, and then when it started the second season, it went back to being on shaky ground before, to me, it ended really strong. But hey, that's just me. Now, those are the only real sci-fi shows I can think about that are on TV currently, and I mean at this current point in time, which is what's today, June 13th. So the regular television season has pretty much ended, and the summer season hasn't really kicked off yet in full. So I know Eureka hasn't come back yet, neither is Warehouse 13. But Stargate Universe is on, And Stargate Universe is, like I said, it's a show that a lot of regular Stargate fans do not like. They are, for some reason, somehow, comparing it to Battlestar Galactica, the reimagining, as if that's a bad thing. You know? It's like... I don't know what it's like. It's like really weird because I like Battlestar Galactica. But the thing that really bothered me with Battlestar Galactica is sometimes it could get so heavy, so oppressive and depressing. I didn't want to watch it. You know? I mean, I couldn't watch more than one episode. I couldn't watch, let's say, two or three episodes in a row because at the end of it, I'd just be bummed out. You know, because everything was so fatalistic. At least with this one, there's still room for exploration. You know, these people aren't as just dour as the crew of the Galactica. You know, they have their issues. You know, they have their internal problems where okay, sorry about that. That was just something really weird that happened here. All right. Now they have their moments. They have just like on Battlestar Galactica, they have two very distinct types of cast member. Okay, they have the military and the civilian. Sort of almost kind of like three. They have the military, they have the civilian, and they have the scientific, which kind of mixes up because the civilians on there are kind of scientists, but not all of the civilians are scientists, and a lot of the non-scientist civilians do get some face time. So, I kind of like that because, I don't know, if you're wearing a uniform, you're a soldier. If you're not, then you're not, all right? And the one thing that they have on SGU that they don't have on Battlestar Galactica is they have a plethora of good people. Alright. One thing I'm gonna say this once again. I like Battlestar Galactica, but they had so many of their characters were just unlikable. You know? I should take that back. Alright, I didn't like Starbuck and I didn't like Apollo. Alright. I liked him in the beginning, but their whole love triangle thing was just stupid. You know? Their love affair was stupid. I don't care who you are, right? If you're with my brother and I treat you like a sister, I'm not going to bang you later on. I don't care who he is, especially when I have a hot wife like he did. Ugh, anyway, just ridiculous. Baltar, he was like one of my favorite characters, but you knew where you stood with him. You knew that he was nothing but a piece of shit. And he, you know, he may have pretended, but no, let's face it, that's what he was. The whole Boomer and Sharon Valeri thing where one of them was evil Cylon and one of them, it's just like, who cares? There was so much of that show that was just like, who cares? That towards the end, I just wanted to see the ending just to see what was going to happen. And when it finally happened and they didn't say what exactly was going on with Starbuck, I did not care. It's like, okay, so who cares? I really didn't care. People are like, oh, I didn't like the ending because they didn't say what happened to Starbuck. It's like, who cares what happened to Starbuck? The show is over. We're free now. We're free. But I'm not here to tear down Battlestar Galactica because, like I said, I liked it. There was things I didn't like about it. But with Stargate Universe, there are more things about it that I do like then that I don't like, and I'm trying to think of something that really is glaring, because there are no characters that stand out as being really bad characters to me, you know. Starbuck and Apollo, they were two unsympathetic characters. They were just two bad characters to me, okay? Colonel Ty, he was another just bad character. Adama didn't really get much to do, and when he did do it, he growled most of the time, you know? It was just really tough to like him or the president, you know? Like I said, my favorite character was Baltar, but it's not like he was like a total, I don't know, see-through character. I don't know what I mean. But with Stargate Universe, I can't think of any characters that I dislike, you know? They have their Rush, Robert Carlyle. He is just... he's awesome. He really is. I like that character. I like the actor who plays the character. He just kicks ass. He was the reason why I actually watched 28 Months Later, which was a horrid movie. It was horrid. It was uninteresting. They took one of the better zombie type movies, because they weren't exactly zombies in the movie. And they just made it suck, you know? I mean, just really, really bad movie. And then the parts that he were in was good. And then, you know, until they decided to give him the rage virus, and it was just like, oh, all right, whatever. I tell you the one thing I don't like about Stargate Universe. Because I am not familiar with 10 years of Stargate TV show stuff, sometimes they make references to people and events and things that I have no idea what they're talking about, okay? Now I know who Daniel Jackson is, because I started watching the show. Now I saw where Richard Dean Anderson's character came from and why they treat him with such reverence. There was this one lady, Amanda Tapping, I believe. She made an appearance in a recent episode, and it's like, okay, you know, I would have absolutely no idea who she was if I hadn't started watching it. And that's one thing I don't like. You know, they make references like, there was some chair that somebody sat in and said, yes, this is the type of chair that almost killed Daniel Jackson. I'm like, who the hell is Daniel Jackson? What the hell does that have to do with anything? This was before I watched the show, so I had no clue what was going on. Some of the stuff I can just overlook. Like, okay, you know, there's one. Now they have, like, this thing called the Illusion Alliance. I don't know where they come from. I don't know what they are. All I know is they're bad guys. That's really all I need to know. You know, if I go back and it turns out that these guys are, like, some really cool bad guys, or these are like some really lame bad guys who are now cool, then, you know, okay, that's a little bit more. But quite frankly, because my Stargate is Stargate Universe, the rest of this is just backstory to fill in the story for minor characters, all right? That's how I see Daniel Jackson and Amanda Tapping's character and not Harry Dean Anderson, Harry Dean Stanton, Richard Dean Anderson, right? His character, he's a minor character for my show, so I don't really care, you know? And now I get to see how he got into a position of authority, but quite frankly, going forward, I do not care. If they never put him and Daniel Jackson and that other lady on the show, okay, fine. Let's deal with the characters I have. Now, another reason why I think that, I'm just going basic on like the first part of the first season of Stargate, comparing it to Stargate Universe, where they have had like almost 10 years to refine everything. But Stargate Universe seems to be more character driven. You know, we get to know these characters a little better, right? Whereas the first episodes that I'm watching of Stargate SG-1, that's just all plot driven. Like, okay, here's the plot, here's the setup, let's do something. You know, I mean, who cares? We don't really know that much about the characters. And I think I'm like 7 or 8 episodes in. At least it feels like 7 or 8 episodes. It may only be 2 or 3. Who knows? And I kind of prefer that. You know, I kind of prefer this story. I don't know if I've even mentioned what the story is. The story basically is that there is a bunch of people who were on an alien planet where there's a Stargate, and they were attacked by unknowns, okay? And the only way that they could really survive was to go through the Stargate to an unknown destination. They didn't know where they were going. Turns out that they were on this old, ancient ship. Now, when might I say ancient? I get the feeling that there were a race of characters called the Ancients. That's not what I'm referring to, although I think they're the ones who made this ship. I'm referring to old ass. This is an old ass ship. And one thing I do like is they had a lot of dust, but not a lot of cobwebs, because let's face it, why would spiders be in the space? And yes, I saw Lost in Space, the movie. Now, this whole story revolves around all these different personalities and how they are dealing with the ship, you know, because not only do they need to get to know one another, but they also need to get to know the ship, all right? Now, most of the time when you have a story like that, what they will do is they will have a touchstone character for us, you know, somebody who's new to everything. And so while this character is learning what's going on, so do we. The character in this case is named Eli something or another. I want to keep calling him Eli Wallach, but it might be Eli Wallace. Who basically, it's the plot from Last Starfighter, all right? He was basically playing a video game. He figured out a math problem in the video game. Next thing you know, the Air Force is showing up and saying, hey, we want to show you something. You know, come on, that's Last Starfighter. You know, a guy beats the video game, he gets the top score. Next thing you know, down comes the alien. We're going to go fight the Armada. It's like, oh, okay. You know, that's what it's like. Which I heard they're remaking Last Starfighter. Part of me is like, oh man, that's going to be cool, because, you know, we have the updated special effects and all that kind of stuff. And at the same time, there's another part of me like, why? But I'm probably gonna watch it anyway. But not only do they have that, but one of the characters in the first story is a U.S. senator, and he is there with his daughter, who's like his aide. So instead of giving us one touchstone characters, they really give us two, because these are two people who we can connect with, because they don't know as much as everybody else on the show, okay, about what's going on, you know. It's really interesting. Now, of course, Eli is falling in love with Chloe. That's what her name is. But, you know, Eli is this, he's an overweight slacker dude, okay, who just happens to be brilliant, so. You know, overweight guy, brilliant. Of course, he's probably into comic books. That you get a pretty good idea of what the stereotype is. And he's in love with Chloe, who happens to be in love with one of the soldiers. All right, so there you go. You have your love triangle. But a lot of other love triangles where one person is just like clearly the one that the middle person should be, right? If it's two guys, then there's like the girl should clearly go for one of them, but for some reason she's attracted to the other one. But no, in this one you actually get to see both guys, you get to connect with both guys, and you can see that they both have feelings for her, very strong feelings for her. And one of the few times, this is one of those instances where, you know, here's a love triangle, let's see which way it's going to go. And what I like is that they don't really spend a whole lot of time stressing over it, you know. And I can't think of any other love triangle on TV, period, that's been that way, where you have two really good choices, between two people that the audience knows. You know, I mean, so I mean, it's interesting, but it, like I said, it doesn't revolve around that. It's oh my God, I can't even begin to stress how good this show is. That's why I say it is the best sci-fi show on TV right now. Now I'm trying to think. Maybe next year they have a couple of sci-fi shows in the works. There's one where Michael Chiklis and his family all get superpowers. Seems like The Incredibles, but hey, you know, we'll see. I think there's like another one, superhero show, and maybe some other science fiction shows, but we will see, because right now, like I said, it, to me, it's all about the Stargate universe, and I'm wondering if it's just something about me and ensemble casts set on ships, you know, because I, like I said, as much as I have problems with some of the characters or some of the situations on Battlestar Galactica, I still like the show, you know. The past couple of episodes on this podcast, I talked so much about Defying Gravity that, you know, people probably get sick of it, but it's another one. It's a much slower moving, you know, because Battlestar Galactica overall moved pretty slow. Stargate universe does move pretty slow when you compare it to like a bunch of other shows of its ilk. Definitely moves a lot but all these shows that I've just mentioned move a lot slower than something like Farscape or the early episodes of Stargate SGU or the Star Trek TV shows. They definitely move slower than those. And I think I just like that kind of stuff. I like the ensemble cast where you get to know each of the characters a little bit better than you would on any other type of show, you know. I liked Heroes, but after a while, Heroes just became about Peter Petrelli and the cheerleader and Hero. You know, it's like one of those three characters was always on the show. And they always took up like the bulk of the time. And it's just like, let's see some of the other characters. Let's introduce new characters, right? And let's introduce new characters that are likable, not just, you know, there was how does that one girl who had the power, the same type of power as Taskmaster, where she could see people do something physical and then she could do it. That was an interesting character. That was an interesting power. They didn't do much with the character. Why? Because they had to fit in all these other people. You had two really charismatic actors with the Wonder Twins from the second season of Heroes, but they had a horrible power. Their power was death, you know? And it's just like, they didn't give us a reason to care about any of them. So it's just like, all right, whatever. But yeah, let's just watch Peter and his brother argue one more time. Ooh, they gotta hunt people down. Oh, we saved the cheerleader. We saved the world. Oh, now we gotta save her father. We gotta do this. Like, oh, who cares? You know? And Hero, he should have been the linchpin. He could have been the linchpin to tie together all these different storylines, but it just seemed like they kept him and Ando on their own storyline for most of the show. And it's just like, all right, who cares now? Anyway. Yeah, but Stargate Universe, it seems to be hitting on all cylinders right now for me. The first season is winding down, so who knows? I might go through a whole deal where I talk about each episode like I plan on doing one day for Defying Gravity. So who knows? We'll see. Anyway, if you have comments or feedback for this, please stop by the website at DeliberateNoise.com/sci-fi, or you can send me an email at Derek@DeliberateNoise.com. I would definitely appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and I will be back pretty soon with another episode.
problem with the deep.